And well, that just doesn't sound good at all.
No, it doesn't. What did you do?
All things that problem, But also, you know, as Dr. Zelt kind of pointed out, in various studies that they've done, they've shown that this method is actually highly effective in terms of getting people to actually learn information, not just to hear it, but to actually learn it and integrate it. And so my hope is that this method will actually be very, very beneficial. Here's how it works. You guys are all at tables. You guys are all basically in discussion groups. Don't worry, it can change every single week. That's not a big deal. Here in a little bit, I'm going to hand out the books for the class. This is just from the Lutheran Hour Ministry. They did this several years ago. In fact, we're going to update a few things as we kind of go because there's been some stuff that's maybe a little out of date now. Paul Meyer is the guy that's going to be hosting it. Paul Meyer is a well-known academic in the LCMS. He does a lot of history stuff. His books are just absolute gold. He has done several fiction books. A Skeleton in God's Closet, More Than a Skeleton in God's Closet, The Flames of Rome, and so on. He's also a Josephus scholar. That's probably where he gets most of his attention from, is because he's done a lot of work in that. So he's a real good guy. He's going to have a video. Some of the weeks, the video is going to be short, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. Other weeks, it can be as long as 16 minutes long. That's just the way Lutheran ministry does it. They have some that are shorter, some that are longer. And then we're going to kind of go through the book. You guys are going to get the chance to ask me questions to start with. And then we're going to go through the book. You guys are going to have a chance to discuss the things in the book, the questions in the book. And then as we go, I'm going to go from group to group. And if I find a consistent question that everybody has, or if I think there's a piece of information that can help further the discussion, I got my whiteboard. And what I'll do is I'll present it to the whole class. I'll explain some aspect of something that either you guys are struggling with or something that I think will possibly further the discussion. And so the idea, though, is that in your groups and in your discussions, you guys can all kind of work through some of these questions. It's kind of like a guided or led discussion. You see, and again, kind of going back to this, what it comes down to is they've discovered that if you're in the midst of a discussion, you have a tendency to remember and retain more of that information. I always say you can learn more if you sit down with somebody, and if you're that kind of person, and you're sitting down with somebody and drinking a beer or having a cigar or something like that, you know, you can learn a whole lot of stuff just sitting there for an hour talking to somebody. And then you come to Bible class and you have somebody lecture at you for an hour, and you're like, okay, well, I didn't get much out of that. Well, this is an attempt to kind of solve that problem. And in the meantime, because we're going to be doing it in that format, I'm going to be getting from you what I need to explain. So I'm not just going to try to explain stuff out in left field that's way over your head and you can't remember half of it. So that's kind of the goal. Are there any questions over this model? Because, I mean, it's a little different. It's a little different. But hopefully it makes a little bit of sense. Does it make sense to everybody? Can we give it a go? I'm not saying you're going to love it, but let's give it a go. Maybe it's not our favorite. We'll decide that maybe this is really only an 8-week course, so 7 weeks after today. So let's give it a go for 7 weeks. If you love it, we can do it again. If you don't love it, we'll just go back to what we've always done. So give it a few weeks. Let it sink in. Invite more people, because the more people we have, the better the discussions are. And the better the discussions are, well, I think the more we'll learn together as a whole. And so, I forgot to move the slide. See, look. Orientation, introduction. That's what we're doing right now.
Do you want the light off?
Oh, no, we'll be fine. I can actually turn this light off right here, so it'll be fine. I'll go do that here in just a second. But to be honest with you, today is just going to be that orientation introduction, which is a good thing because that means that the whole video thing where you can't hear or understand half of what's going on, it's not going to be an issue today because we only had that one promo video. So a couple other things to think about as well. I'm about to hand the books out, like I said. If you are a digital person, you can download this book from Lutheran Hour Ministry. They might ask you to create an account. Don't worry, they don't spam you or anything like that. They just want to track how many of these things are downloaded, what it comes down to, and from where. But you can download this book digitally. There is a lot of really cool stuff in the digital edition that I have taken out of the print edition. I have taken it out of the print edition mainly because most of it is links. And your books, you can push on that paper page all you want. It's not going anywhere. So if you go online and you download the digital version, there are things like that you can click. You know, they'll take you to a website dealing with like ancient manuscripts, or they'll take you to a website, you know, dealing with this thing or that thing. And so there's a lot of really cool little links that you can actually prep. I have taken them all out of the book, mainly, again, just for that very reason that you can't really click on it in terms of paper form. So that's something to kind of think about as we go through this. Just realize that there's a whole lot more that you can kind of do as we kind of move on with that whole thing. Let me see. I guess I can pass out the books at this point, and then we can kind of talk about it as we go.
You each get one. And if you find any typos or anything like that, that's because I had to go through and modify this book to make it fit. And so it's my fault.
As you guys can look through, you can kind of see, you know, I actually like the kind of the setup and everything. And again, it's going to tell you to go to Lutheran Hour Ministry if you'd like to get a digital copy, which again, I highly suggest. All these videos, by the way, and this is another thing I should say, if you guys have not logged on to Faith Life, and I know not everybody's like technologically savvy or anything like that, but if you haven't, and you are technologically savvy, please do. Find this group. I've posted something. Actually, on Facebook, you can actually click on the link, and it will take you to the group page for this study. And much like last time, I am recording all the audio sessions, and so you'll be able to catch those. Plus, all these videos, I'm actually uploading onto there. And so you'll actually be able to see that, too. Now, for those of you that are super technologically advanced, and you have, like, for instance, a Roku or a smart TV, you can actually download the Faith Life TV app, which will give you access to this class. You can actually watch it on your real TV. So that's just for those of you that have smart TV or devices or Rokus. I have a Roku at the house, so we check it out every now and again. You can download Faith Life TV. Faith Life TV is a subscription service, but if you belong to a group, it will actually, you can sign in with your account and you still be able to access your free content. So this is considered free content. I'm free. So anyway, but that way, if you do happen to miss a class or something like that, way I'm going to do it, and today I'm recording the entire class, but in the future, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a slideshow set up to where I only record those teaching moments that I take in class, the introduction, and of course the video will be accessible. So really, you'll only be getting the teaching bits, I guess, if you will. Now, the bad thing about that is you'll miss all the discussion, and that's always a shame. However, recorded audio discussion from several groups is really boring. So if you ever try to listen to a group talking, it's not very interesting, because you can't understand what's going on in small groups. So anyway, so we're not recording all the discussions. We're just going to record the teaching segments and the teaching sections. And so that's kind of the overall design of the class. And again, if there's any problems with the model, you know, with the book, please let me know. If I have to print more, I'll fix it. So, all right. Any thoughts or any questions? Because I'm talking really fast, and that means I'm almost done. So, nothing. All right. Well, let me introduce this class a little bit because the promo video doesn't work very well. Basically, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing an overview, kind of a big summary of the topic of where our Bible came from. We're not going to get into an extreme amount of detail. However, again, I'm here, and this is kind of my topic, so I love this topic. So ask me, and I might not know it, but I will find it out for you if I can. And so that's kind of what we're doing. We're going to follow Dr. Meyer as he kind of goes through. Now, he's going to go to the Bible Museum in Arizona. Now, that's where the first Bible Museum actually opened up. Now, most of that museum, well, I think that museum is still there. The big one now, started by the same family, which is actually the Hobby Lobby family, actually is open in Washington, D.C. And so that's where that is now. It just opened a couple years back. It is actually kind of a big deal. They are a huge museum. They got a lot of really, really good stuff, much, much more than you could ever imagine. And so it's all there. And so they have two big Bible museums. One's located in Arizona, and the other one's in Washington, D.C. I think the big one that houses most of their ancient manuscripts is actually located in Arizona. Good point of fun information, or trivial information, if you will. The guy who coordinates the ancient manuscript section in the Arizona and Washington, D.C. sections is a guy by the name of Chloe. Chloe is an old seminary prof. This is where he went after seminary. So basically, he was at Concordia Seminary. He was a teacher. I never actually got to have him as a teacher. Real bummer. Good guy. Jeff Chloe was his name. But anyway, after he left seminary, he was basically called up to basically head up this museum. So he heads up with the Arizona branch mainly. That's where he's mainly housed. However, he does kind of go to the Washington, D.C. and stuff. So if you see a news article that features the Museum of the Bible, you will probably see his name. They almost always interview him. So good guy, great guy. Used to love riding bikes. So anyway, there's our point of connection to the Bible Museum. Both in Arizona and in Washington, D.C. So anyway, that's basically what we are doing. We are going to be handling both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we're going to be doing that in the next 8 weeks, seven and a half weeks, because we're almost halfway done with this class. So that's kind of what we're going to be handling. That is a lot of information. That is a ton of information. But that's why I'm saying we're going to be doing it lightly, we're doing a summary, we're kind of doing an overview, and that's why I'm taking this model of a class, just so we don't kind of get overwhelmed by one topic or the other. My personal specialty, by the way, is in New Testament textual criticism, which is the actual topic that covers not just how we got the New Testament, but it also covers what the ancient writers, how they did the ancient writing, materials that they used, how they wrote it, and how we know that the Bible that we have in our hands is the Bible of the ancient world. And so it's a pretty heavy, hard-hitting topic. At the end of this course, and I'm hoping that I have it ready, got a little online stuff. But anyway, if there are parties that are willing, I may be able to offer a more in-depth study on that topic alone. I do have another video series that is by far more in-depth. That I might be offering those that want to look into an online study. That won't be for down here. It'll be strictly online. And part of the reason that it'll be strictly online is because you guys have another teacher down here. And so, for that reason, I'm not going to step on that person's toes. But, if you are technologically savvy and you like to watch videos, I can make those available. They're a bit longer, though. They're a half an hour piece, and there are something like 32 of them. So, it is by far more in-depth. All right. Well, everybody, nobody's answering any questions. So with that, why don't we actually practice the whole idea of talking and holding conversation? Right? That's right. You guys got to practice because you guys got to figure this out. So first of all, at your tables, try to take a moment. If you don't know each other, and you do, but bear with me, right? This is how you start a class, right? If you don't know each other, introduce yourself. But let's face it, you all probably know each other. Talk about it, and then maybe maybe do this. Try to think of something that you are hoping to learn in this course. Something that maybe you've always kind of wondered about or always thought about, and now you're thinking, man, I hope we kind of get to this in this class. And then talk about that as a group and kind of discuss as best you can. If everybody's quiet here, I'm going to assume you're all our friends. And I'm going to start shifting up the tables. So there's that. That is correct. Yes. I mean, it is an ESV text, but it's got a little study notes and stuff on it. So, a good Bible for that. Yep. All right. Discuss amongst yourselves. I'm going to walk around. Wait. I don't have any coffee. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. Spares. Whoa. Everybody, you guys talk. I'm going to get coffee. I took it. Is it a lot?
I hope that works out. weird. It's like a lot of people. 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 There are some beautiful ones. We'll get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
sentence.
For instance,
over a span of 1,500 years, it has to be a marble map. Because most people, unless that was all blood,
we're actually system control oriented. I wanted my
About the class. Now we have about 14 minutes left. And again, I'll give you guys more time to discuss. My goal today was just to introduce you to this class style, get you introduced to the topic a little bit, and hopefully get you guys kind of set up. Now, some people have mentioned again, if you do miss a class, it's okay. I have all the stuff that we can give you. Again, the digital stuff we'll put on Faith Life. I can hook you up with that so that you guys can understand it. Just bring it to me, and I will take the time to set that up for you so that you guys can have access to that digital and that video information. I'm not saying that there's not going to be technical difficulties. There always is, it seems. But we're going to try to fight through as much of that as we can. All right.
I think it would be interesting today to see what each table was talking about a little bit. See if we're in alignment.
Okay, we can do that. Does anybody... Okay, now here's the thing, though. I can't remember what everybody's talking about. I remember what some of you were talking about. But does anybody want to be a spokesperson for the table? Oh, I know, right? Now it got intimidating.
I'll this table, an educated table. I'm thinking about moving over there tonight. Actually, I'll tell you what we talked about. We talked about what is the significance of some of the history in the Old Testament that has nothing to do that we can understand about teaching or God itself, such as, some of the gruesome stories we read.
Sure, in the
Old
Testament. Sure.
What's that all about? You know, we don't know that. We also talked about why is there verses of the Bible when the Bible is more understandable or just reading it without going through verse by verse.
Yeah.
You know, I learned that from you, I think. We had a sermon about that one time. Yeah. And I started doing that, and it really means a lot more, not reading verse to verse. We don't know why the verses, probably for an organizational purposes, I suppose.
The verses were added in Well, the chapters were added in about 1100. Verses were added a little bit later in 1200 AD. And then Those verses were rejected, and they came out, and I think it was about the mid-1500s. They were finally solidified more or less in the form that we have them today. And so that's where verses kind of come from. It was more for study purposes than anything. If you guys are digitally apt and you guys like this, you can actually usually, if you have a Bible app, you can actually turn off your verses, which is beneficial if you want to just read it straight through. However, if you're not that, you can purchase Bibles. They have what they call Reader's Edition of Bibles nowadays. They're great, but warn you, they're expensive. Mainly because they're like the new fad of the day. So, for instance, ESV has one. I think it costs about $120. It is a 6 to 8 volume set. 6 to 8 volumes, and if you don't know why, if you open up your Bible and you feel how thin that paper is, that's why. They make it larger print so that it's actually readable, and then they make it paper like you would in a book. So you, when you sit down to read it, it's like you're reading a book. There's no verses, there's no chapters, it's just straight through. A lot of people just love it, and I can see why. I actually, because I read more or less digitally, I have not invested the $120 in the ESV 6 volume set, or the NIV whatever volume set. I instead just shut my verses off. But I do that, in fact, sometimes, because I find it very beneficial to try not breaking up the various topics and so on and so forth. So yeah, good topic. Good topic. Any other people willing to share?
Well, we got sidetracked, but with all good intentions.
Uh-huh.
I said I thought it was interesting, you know, you mentioned about the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C., and the comment was, I wonder if our government people have ever gone to see that, you know. And then we got sidetracked with the news. The news that's presented to us nowadays, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, and, you know, because you're Christian, you wonder if you're reading and watching food. That's what we were really discussing, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those are great topics. And to answer your question, I know that several government officials have toured it. Not all of them, by far. Some have even rallied against it, as you might expect. But not all of them. So I couldn't name off names because I don't keep that kind of list anyway. And that'd be a waste of my headspace. So I just know that some of them have. But to be honest with you, and I can't talk this up enough, if you guys find yourself in Washington, D.C., and who knows, maybe one day we'll plan a trip or something. I don't know. I got lots of trips that I wish I could plan, but I just never have time. So, but it would. I honestly think it might be worth your time. I don't know. I've never been to it. But it's definitely on my bucket list, if you will, to go to the Bible Museum that's located in Washington, D.C. I've heard nothing but good things.
Well, next week I'm not going to be here because...
You're going to Washington, D.C.?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
That might be next.
Yeah.
Why they
And I talked a little bit about that. We are going to get to some of that in class, so realize if you guys are going, that's a great question. We're going to talk about some of that. In fact, that's actually one of the points of the class, is to actually talk and discuss about some of those things. So yeah, great questions. Great questions. All right.
You want me to talk to you?
I want you to talk to me.
We're also discussing about where they got the Bible and that, and then the fact that Dead Sea Scrolls actually went through and showed where most of it was.
Yeah.
Lines up from word of mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Verified it to a degree. And we are, again, we're also going to be talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls are one of the most significant finds of the 20th century, so 1947, if I remember correctly. There's only one other find that you probably haven't heard about that was actually more, I don't know about more significant, but at least pretty much as significant. And I'm going to get this name wrong because it's named after the guy who discovered it. It was in Egypt, and he basically found a garbage pile, an ancient garbage pile where they threw a bunch of paper and scrolls and stuff, and they're just done with them. Oxycronocus or something like that. Oxycronocus? Yeah, it's something like that. I'll probably figure it out later and it'll be completely way off. But anyway, that's the name of the archaeologists that found it. They basically did dig sites in Egypt in one of the sand areas, and they dug into it and they found all this stuff. And so it became a huge, massive find. And so those are probably in the last probably 150 years or so, maybe 200 years, they're probably the two most significant finds that we've seen in terms of manuscripts. So, yeah. All right. Great questions. Great questions.
What city did they bury?
When
there was a time that Jerusalem was destroyed, any place where there was a temple that was destroyed, so the people that lived in the city, they buried it.
Yeah, you're gonna. I'm vague memories. So vague memories. I don't know off the top of my head.
I would think that would just be a world of information.
When you start getting into Israel and what they have found there in modern times, it is amazing how much they have discovered. Like, you know, I even when we were over there. It was always amazing to me because we'd go and they would talk about the site and then you'd see like weeds and stuff growing everywhere and they're like, yeah, they're not doing anything with the site. And it's like, okay, that's crazy. Like this is, if we found this in America, we would be building buildings around it and then you talk to them and they're like, yeah, well, I think the guy said at the time, 2.5 years ago, he said Israel had 37,000 active museums or dig sites that they were working on at that time. And so we were going to others and they were saying, yeah, we don't have time for this. And you go, but you think about it, 37,000. And realize this country is about the size of New Jersey. So 37,000 active dig sites in New Jersey, just pretend that's there for a second. And then pretend you have a government that's trying to basically pay for all that. So it gets a little challenging. But they have a lot of stuff that they discovered. I mean, if you just walk around, you're picking ancient pot shards and stuff. So, it's...
The land and the climate, though,
that's preserved. Yeah, in some parts, absolutely. All right.
Can I tell a quick question?
Yes, you sure can.
I think it's Pima, Arizona, where they have that, where they take the old airplanes, and the reason is because it's dry, and the ground is so hard that when they take the planes out there, they don't sink, because the ground is like concrete. So we have been there, just been to that museum, called Museum, Cleveland Museum. So we're going to go home, we're going to fly, and they told us our plane had a mechanical failure, they had to go through the quart, and we're looking at each other, and we're like, they're going to the dead airplane.
Again, I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you guys get a lot out of it. The discussion based interests me. Got a lot of work to do on my end, though, to kind of perfect it. This is my first real go-around with it, so hopefully you guys enjoy it, and as time moves on, hopefully it gets better. And so again, if we like this, we can try it again with another study, and maybe it'll go well. There's a lot of discussion-based studies that you can get. There's not a lot of lecture-based studies, which is why whenever we did lecture-based, which is what I'm probably the most comfortable with, I always chose a book, and we just kind of went through that book. But then, along with that, I don't really like talking for 30 minutes. I run out of stuff to say. I get nervous. I talk a little fast. And then everybody goes, you were talking way too fast. So, God be with all of you. Thank you so much for coming down. Bring a friend next week. It'd be great. We're going to have a good time.